Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 85, Interview with Caleb Pike. Caleb runs a YouTube channel called DSLR Video Shooter and helps filmmakers and other YouTubers with lighting, camera, lenses, gear, and getting the most out of their dollar, as well as tutorials to improve their craft. In this episode, we talk about what got Caleb into filmmaking, his work with DSLR Video Shooter, what he has planned for the future, and fun things like straddling the line between doing it yourself and spending the money on gear. Show notes for this episode are available at gwtw.co/85. Are you passionate and motivated to make the world a better place with your company, product, or culture, and wonder how you're going to market your efforts? Chris Martin Studios is a video production company that answers that question and many others with strategy and creative services for those who dare to build a better world. Head to chrismartinstudios.com to see the latest goods produced for people just like yourself. And while you're there, sign up for my weekly email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. It's a great way to stay connected with Chris Martin Studios and meet awesome people changing the world. All right, you ready for this interview with Caleb? Take it away, interviewer Chris. Caleb, thank you for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and share a little bit about what you do?
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited. So I run a YouTube channel called DSLR Video Shooter, where I help filmmakers and other YouTubers figure out lighting, camera, lenses, gear purchases, getting the most out of their dollar when it comes to making videos, as well as tutorials on how to work on their craft. But it's a lot of gear. And I used to do production, video production on the side. And that was my full-time gig back in the day. But I've been full-time for probably about 3 years now, maybe a little longer. That's what I do.
Wow. So before we talk about what you're doing now, what got you into filmmaking?
I've dabbled in and out of graphic design, web design, development, and video since probably middle school is when I really started to get into it. My dad was always very supportive of us kids when he saw that light go off when we found our interest. Mm-hmm. And he really helped support me and kind of like, hey, you're really good at this. Maybe you should try pursuing it instead of just it being a small dabble thing. So he was always awesome and helped me with buying my first educational copy of Final Cut 2 or 3 studio and with cameras and things. And then in 2012, I wanted to go to film school, didn't want to do the whole student debt thing. So I started doing gen ed at a community college, realized that college just was not in it. I was not willing to go through all of the pain and suffering to get a degree. And I was going to go for marketing. I decided not to do film school just because of costs. I was going to do a marketing kind of a degree. So after I did one semester, committed to finishing that, and then decided to take a summer or a year to just jump into what I was into, which at the time was video. Mm-hmm. And from there, things just started slowly happening. I got into a media department at a church. My grandfather's church was huge, and I had seen they had all these cameras. So I just walked into their offices and was like, hey, I'm willing to volunteer. Started there, met some people there, started doing some side projects, and then started working eventually full-time as a freelance shooter and editor. So that's kind of how I got into it. And then the DSLR video shooter side, what I do now full time, was along with that. In 2010, I started putting up some video tests of lighting and things I was doing. And I just put them up there for kind of a journal or something to reference and to compare. And people started watching those and asking questions. I had a web background, so I threw up a WordPress just for kicks and giggles. And now that's a full-time gig. So, and so many people, I feel like this is a similar story. You know, none of us decide when we're 18 that we're going to build an online empire or a business or anything like that. It's all something we enjoy. And
it's interesting because I didn't know a lot of your backstory, and it's interesting that you came up through your church's production department as well, because that's actually my story as well, where I had I had graphic design background, I had a web design background, and then I start volunteering at a church, and that was actually the last job that my last full-time job where before I went out on my own was through that trajectory. So it's a little spooky, you know, hearing the exact almost similar story with someone else.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a great, hey, if anyone's listening and there's a church nearby and they do stuff with cameras or anything, it could be web design. It's a great way to get your hands dirty, working with real people on real projects.
Yeah, there's typically decent budgets too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
good gear.
Yeah. Nowadays with all these like massive churches and whatnot. So
on one of your sites that I came across is the Fourth Foundry website. I'm going to assume that was your past video production.
Yeah.
Work.
I should probably check in to see what's what's going on over there. But yes,
I think the last reel was 2013, but there was a really cool quote on it. And it said, "We prefer conveying ideas at 24 frames per second." And that got me thinking, and kind of in line with something that you said just a couple of minutes ago, of always coming up with ideas. How do you feed and foster your ability to keep coming up with ideas?
I think the biggest part is just if it's something you love. So if you're crazy passionate about horses, you're never going to be able to stop thinking about that subject, all these different, like you'd think video gear and topics and tutorials on that would get old after a while. It would just turn into the same kind of camera view over and over. But I think I'll die before I run out of ideas, because everything evolves and I evolve and we all evolve. My viewers evolve as filmmakers and video producers. So if it's something you love, you're not going to run out of ideas. Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of it is just tinkering too. I think it's huge to whatever you're into, make sure you have at least an hour a day to play with it. Mm-hmm. Some of my best ideas come from, I'm about to wrap up. It's getting close to 4 or 5 and I'll just go into the studio and start cleaning up. And then I'm like, oh, what if I put this light on this mic arm and do this? And then it turns into this great idea or researching for a video or something like that. So, something you love and tinkering.
Do you ever just lose track of time completely when you get into that tinker mode?
I used to until things started to grow and I had deadlines. then a lot of that gets destroyed. So I used to mess around with gear all the time when I first got started, but having a more strict schedule, trying to get videos done, it gets to the point where there's just not, I can't afford to kind of get lost, but it's definitely a thing. Yeah. If the wife is on a trip, I work really late for sure.
What I appreciate about DSLR Video Shooter is not only the reviews and recommendations and the how-to videos, but as it's like, it's a really cool model for being an entrepreneur and loving, I think, helping people.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things is like, what got you interested in making a site like that? You said you kind of fell into it, but what really got you thinking about giving so much content away for free at the beginning?
Well, I was living with my grandfather, you know, low bills. So it was easy to invest time into that. I completely understand a lot of people's situations where they have kids and a house and a mortgage and all these things that they can't just start from scratch. But I knew there was going to be a road towards some kind of paid model. That wasn't my motivation, but I knew of these guys who were bloggers and, you know, made a living doing that. So I knew that was something that would happen potentially someday. And it's also one of those things, like, you just don't think about it. Like, you're so into it. You know, this was kind of a hobby when I started. I never planned on this paying any kind of bills. And it's just fun to talk to other people about what you love. So I didn't really have that on camera issue, you know, a lot of people struggle with the idea of getting on camera or getting behind a microphone.
Yeah.
I grew up in a big family, so maybe that's what was going on there. But just sharing the information because I was passionate about it. There wasn't a lot of information in my niche at the time. Mm-hmm. And that really is what started it and drove it.
What's interesting is, like, when you started, there wasn't too many people in your niche. But now, I mean, it seems like there's reviews and tutorials popping up almost daily.
Yeah.
So how do you keep up with the competition? How do you think about your competition? And how does this motivate you to keep making better work?
Sure. Yeah. When I got started, there were me and at most four other people mm-hmm. in the world that were covering this, because there just wasn't a lot out there when it comes to video content, reviews, blog posts and whatnot. So I did have that opportunity to jump in early with this niche within a niche. So that's always a plus if you can get in there. The other thing is, for competition, I'm very fortunate, and I'm sure with podcasting and certain other industries, it's very similar to this, where everybody is amazing. Like no one in my field that I can think of, unless they're all thinking something else different, they're all awesome guys. Everyone supports everyone. You know, we reach out to each other for questions all the time. So there's definitely some healthy competition, though. Like, I won't say who, but on my Social Blade, which is a site you can track YouTube stats daily, monthly, see where everyone's at. I have a lot of similar sites to mine. And so it's kind of a healthy, like, that was a really good video so-and-so just did. He's doing really well. And so it's, you know, there's some healthy competition there. But I think it's good to stick with your thing. And early on, you need to experiment to find that voice, which I don't like to say, but it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. You'll bounce off a couple walls and kind of land into that little niche that you feel comfortable in. And the beauty is, especially with YouTube, there's room for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I know it's different now than it was back in the day when there were very few people. The other thing is, though, you got the flip side of that is there's more eyeballs over there. And what I love about YouTube is the algorithm is so good at finding content that people want to see. So if there's people that are out there that enjoy vintage spoons and that's what you're into, those people will find you. So there's always room for more people. I wouldn't say don't get in a niche because it feels crowded. Mm-hmm. If this next thing comes into play, which is each person has kind of their unique spin on things. So within my niche right now, there's a lot of guys that are really, really funny. I'm not that guy, right? So there's guys out there that just you crack up through the entire video, even though it's on gear, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's guys that have the high production value. You know, they're jumping out of helicopters and doing all that. I don't have the budget or the time for that. So my thing is kind of just being like we're sitting down with a cup of coffee and there's a pile of gear in front of us. You know, just kind of a real personal walkthrough of what I'm conveying or what I'm figuring out. So there's can be large niches with room for new talent, absolutely. And I'm trying to remember who. Someone did a post. I gotta look it up because I keep coming back to it. But someone wrote a post about several different ways to break into a field, and one is superior knowledge, one is superior quality. So if whatever you're going to be offering is higher quality than everyone else's, you're going to succeed. Another one was not popularity, but essentially having some kind of celebrity attached to what you're doing can give you a head start. And there's a couple other ones, but that I remember reading that on early because I was really into like making sure my blog was the best and all this kind of thing. And this guy had this good post on that.
It's really interesting too, because I appreciate how you describe yourself, because when I watch your videos, it very much is that. It's like I'm hanging out with a friend who's helping me with a problem. One video in particular that really helped me was your tutorial on lighting people with glasses. I mean,
yeah.
I was having that issue in a video, and I guess YouTube heard my brain or my problems or something, because that video popped up on Twitter or on Facebook or something to where I needed to see it. and it really helped. And it wasn't that, it was just there and it was helpful. And it was just like a friend helping me out. And I appreciate that, because if I want to laugh, I don't know if I'm necessarily wanting to laugh watching a tutorial video, but
sure,
you know, maybe I do.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the content. But I've gotten a lot of comments of like, you're very raw, whatever that means. Real. But yeah, if you're looking for some laughs, Film Riot is a good YouTube to channel to check out. I'm sure you've heard of them.
So one of the things on your site that I like is the Video Shooter Academy concept, where you have kind of the paid camera guides and even the longer form courses.
Sure.
How do you see this growing over the next year or two?
Long term, I want to do a lot of them. They take a ton of time, which is obviously money and just so much research to write them and to produce and edit them. But I like to do more of them. They are a great way for people who enjoy the weekly, biweekly stuff to sit down with a beverage of choice and kick back and enjoy some long form stuff and really dive in. Because on YouTube, I don't want to make a 30-minute tutorial. But if you're willing to, you know, sit down and really want to dive in, I want to have something available to them. The camera guides, they do well because it's great to like sit down with a brand new camera and instead of leafing through a huge manual, just sit down and watch stuff. It's so much nicer to do that. And I can skip all the stuff you don't need to worry about and get to the 10 things you want to quickly change before you start shooting. No matter what, how good of a content I create for filmmaking or making your videos better, camera stuff always trumps everything. Camera reviews, people just love that. That's super sexy. So doing those guides are good. I'd love to do more documentary filmmaking, bring some people on to do some post-production stuff that really, really know their stuff, and several other topics, do a beginner's course, all this kind of thing. So definitely bring more people on. The scalability of that is almost infinite. It just takes some logistics and some other people and their time. So down the road, we're saving now for building a studio somewhere someday.
Cool.
And would love to have a really big, juicy studio, bring a bunch of people on, hire a bunch of editors. But I need that space and some talent, some models, things like that to really scale it beyond just cameras, which is obviously dominant over there.
One of the guides that I think first got me on your radar, or got you on my radar, there we go, was the corporate video guide. And right. I remember seeing that pop up years ago. And the content, even to this day, still seems super relevant. And you know, what kind of growth do you get from that over the years? I mean, is it still finding people and helping people?
Absolutely. I mean, all the guides are, which is odd. My first guide, the GH4 guide, which I put way too much time in, but I had to get started somewhere, is still selling today. And I guess that's the beauty is once, you know, it does the new camera circuit, people keep buying older cameras and stuff like the corporate video guide is obviously evergreen, or that's what we wanted. Our goal wasn't to show you, to do a whole guide on how to shoot corporate videos with cameras, because that's going to age quickly. But what's something that people who are creating content and producing for real clients, how can they continue to grow their business? And a lot of people are kind of upset it wasn't more specific when it comes to equipment or to how we format certain things. But the idea was that information is good and always will be good.
Yeah, I was just kind of not leafing through. I was scanning through the table of contents and just kind of like, oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's cool that you are able to produce in an age where it seems like content's changing so fast that you're able to find those evergreen topics that last in time.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your thought on this, but do you think that like that we'll see a resurgence in old camera gear, like the old digital camera gear that we see with like old vintage lenses, or maybe, you know, 16 millimeter film, or any of that. You think we're going to find people that discover old, you know, Panasonic DVXs or something in their basement, right, and be like, I'm going to make a low res film?
Yeah, I think, I mean, no one knows, right? When people were shooting on, you know, 8 millimeter, they probably had no idea that this stupid thing that doesn't record sound and has all these issues is going to be like all the rage in the future, or Super 8 or whatever. So you never know. I mean, VHS is kind of fun. Actually, I've got a camera I'm going to do a video on, one of my first cameras that I ever worked with as a kid. And yeah, it's really, really hard to tell. But I think there's always something vintage that people, and that's becoming more of a thing. If you jump on YouTube, there's a bunch of guys who do almost exclusively vintage gear reviews. So they'll get a hold of a Macintosh, whatever, and from the 80s, and they'll do a review as if they picked it up for the first time. Like, and people love that stuff. So vintage is, you know, always a thing.
Yeah, one thing that I love about your site is the vintage lens section, where you highlight the different vintage lenses and the looks that they give. Very practical stuff.
Yeah, and vintage lenses, man, that's beautiful stuff. There's a lot of good, affordable stuff out there. And it's amazing how that market's changed. When I first got started and first discovered that, it was still pretty, you know, you could get all that stuff for $5, $10 at most. Whereas now that people have all, you know, caught on and there's a lot of content out there on it, it's definitely inflated. So it's interesting how these little markets come and go.
Interesting. How do you straddle the line between DIY and just spending the money on, you know, good gear so that you don't have to DIY it?
Yeah, I think it comes down to your what you're working on. So obviously, if you're going to be shooting, you know, a commercial with somebody who isn't cheap to get a hold of, or a celebrity, you want to fork it out. You know, go to a rental house and you're going to throw 10, 15, 20, 30 grand at it to make sure that that works out. But if you're getting started, there's so much good stuff out there. It's ridiculous what's available now for video equipment. Yeah, so it's, and it's also a time thing. If you're getting started, like I was in my grandfather's basement tinkering with equipment, you've got the time to jerry-rig something up for your short film or whatever, which is totally legit. I'm not trashing on it at all. I was there for a long time. And then as time grows on, you start to get some clients, or you start to grow your YouTube channel, and maybe you have less time for that because you're hiring people and you're writing for fresh content and editing, and maybe that's the time to invest more and spend less time. But it's a balance, and it's good to figure out what is worth it too, because I spent a lot of time working on stuff that in the end was, you know, subpar for sure.
So when you started down this road, and how did you think about business then, and how has, you know, running an online empire changed your concept of business now? Because one of the things is, like, as video producers, we might think one way to run a successful production company, but it sounds like your concept of that has changed over the years.
When I first got started, it was just a hobby. And I'd mess around with, you know, playing with gear, spending too much on stupid stuff like rigs and all this shoulder stuff that seems sexy, but it really doesn't add a lot of value. And over time, just every single week, year, day, getting things more and more fine-tuned and sharpened down to as tight a point as possible. Over time, a big thing has just been time management. And it's easy to get caught up in what you're doing right now. So, you know, shooting, you know, a couple videos this week for next week. But it's hard to step back and think about the next year, the next 5 years, 10 years. And a big thing is, how are you going to scale what you're doing now? There's a book that I, horrible with titles or with authors, but What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And I love that concept. I started the book and it was more corporate America-y. But the concept is still amazing, just that title. What got you to this moment in time won't get you to the next rung. And that's been true of pretty much every 6 months of my channel. You're starting out, you're like, wow, cool. So people are into this. Oh, now I need to start paying bills. And then the guides was a massive move up and a big kind of stepping back and looking at, into the future. But I can't just be doing the same guides or the same amount of guides. So increasing the level of content, the quality of the content, doing more collaborative work, hiring people, that's a big thing. I'm kind of right in the middle right now. I've got a couple people helping me out, but it's just about time to like pull the trigger and really get after that. And also, I'm a big proponent of being a, you know, family man and a their dad. So I work 9 to 5 and I really try to stick to that, which means I need to squeeze every ounce of every minute or hour when I do work. Mm-hmm. So making sure I don't get off track and I'm spending half a day researching a video and looking at gear on Amazon instead of pedal to the metal and writing scripts and shooting and editing. So yeah, I think that's a big one. It's definitely, if you can maximize your time, you can either spend less time on it or that'll go so much further.
You speak with such authority in that concept of time management as well. It's almost as if you've gone down the wrong road for a while and had to get back into what you valued the most.
Mm, absolutely. It's with anything, it's easy to get caught up into stuff. I can imagine any YouTube genre, you can get stuck in anything. And for me, it's the realization, and it's always happening. It's not like I learn and then I'm done. But just recently I'm working on all these projects, got things. I'm like, all right, I need to look a little further out, like come up for air. And that's why I need to hire like a full-time studio producer someday just to like yell at me when I'm doing the wrong thing. But looking up and then like, you know, how many videos do I have in progress right now that I have some B-roll, some voiceover? And it was like 18 videos.
Wow.
Or like a month and a half, 2 months worth of content. And then realizing what other stuff I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And just, it's amazing how you can get kind of stuck in little things and you need to step back and how is this going to affect the bigger picture? So I try to, the last couple of months and more recently, plan out what I'm doing each day for at least a month. And it sounds hardcore, but you got to do something with that. Otherwise, I'm going to be releasing videos that I shot, you know, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Instead of staying on top of fresh content. So,
wow, that level of dedication is awesome.
And that's, you know, doing 2 videos a week. When I first started, you can go back and look at my video release history. And it's like, it's all over the place. So it'll be 3 once a week for a month, and then nothing for a month and a half. And then it was every week consistently, and then a couple extra ones. And now we've been doing 2 a week for about close to a year. And I'm hoping to eventually have every day, but that's going to be a little ways out.
Do you ever wrestle with motivation?
Yeah. Yeah. There's certain things I don't like to do. I love to plan the videos. And in your head, you know, with anything, you kind of like see the final vision. Mm-hmm. So I was on your website checking out that awesome documentary you're working on. And I saw, or I was just thinking of, you get caught up in that. You're like, oh, it'd be amazing. You think of like specific shots and all this stuff. That stuff's fun. Packing your car with gear and going to a shoot or getting on the phone with somebody, none of that's fun. Or maybe it is for some people, but so trying to make sure that the things you enjoy don't eat up a ton of time. Mm-hmm. So for me, I have a sticky note right here on my monitor that says shooting, editing, mail, planning. Not in that order necessarily, but those are the only things I should be working on. Mm-hmm. I try to outsource everything else. And so if I sit down here, I should be doing one of those things and not spending time, you know, messing around.
That's awesome. So you mentioned what got you here won't get you there. Is there any other resource, maybe a book, a video, etc., that has impacted you the most?
I was trying to think about this. And I think number one, it would be a book, and that'd be Rework, $15-ish on Amazon. And it's by Jason Fried and David from 37 Signals. Yeah, so that book, it's like a page and a half, 2 pages a chapter, and it's really condensed, no BS business book. Yeah. And they're coming from it from a really unique perspective, kind of in between what I think a lot of freelancers and corporate gig kind of people where they're at. So that's a great book. No matter what you do, you're going to get something out of that. You might be really frustrated with coworkers afterward, but it's a solid read. And I think that helped me kind of get my head out of the clouds and really like pursue the business side of this stuff.
That's cool. So if you could write the perfect story of your future, so you've kind of hinted at it a little bit, like having a built studio and hiring people to produce this content, but what else makes the perfect story of your future?
Having a big studio, like a big Morton building or something on a property where we live, and being able to hire people. I'm right now sitting in a basement. This is the studio and the office. And I'd love to do some more collaborative. I think that's one of the best ways to grow. And force me to, instead of just get all that stuff out of my head and be able to communicate that with other people in a team would be amazing. So hiring a lot of people, doing more collaborative work and some more big picture stuff, and have produced some higher quality content and have a lot more of that training available to people and do stuff like those guides for free, and to continue growing to whatever else, you know, I haven't thought of.
Yeah.
And we'll probably have to make some mistakes to figure out down the road.
Right on. So final question, Caleb, what are you excited about today?
I'm kind of excited about this new, it sounds kind of dumb in this small thing, but how I'm organizing my to-do list. There's so many apps out there and I've tried so many different methods, but this is going to sound so simple. And those of you who've got really awesome works for you, complex solutions will probably laugh, but over the last couple of weeks, I've switched from using my Things app, Evernote, all this stuff, to just using built-in Apple Calendar. And I have two calendars, two different colors. Red is my video release schedule. So I can see, okay, this week, these two videos are going out at these times. And the next 2 months, I've got stuff down there. And then I've got another calendar, which is green. And that's my that day to do. And then more specific stuff can go into Evernote. But this seems really simple, but it's been really nice to see the next month completely laid out. I know exactly what I have to do that day. So before I do any extraneous stuff, I got to bang those out. Yeah. And then maybe I can attack some the next day and get ahead. But that seems to work for me. I've tried a lot of different software and different methods. But that having the whole month right here in front of me has worked really well. So I'm excited about my calendar.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hadn't really thought of it that way. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
And thanks for your time. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope your YouTube channel continues growing and you're able to build that building that you want to build. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Thanks. Yeah, it means a lot.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much to Caleb for taking time out of his day to talk about his work with DSLR Video Shooter. And thank you for taking the time to listen to Getting Work to Work. It means a lot to me that you're here. Would you be willing to share this podcast with your friends and other creative professionals and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co, where they can subscribe to Getting Work to Work on multiple platforms, sign up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter, and find the various social media links should they want to be social with me. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work, or know someone that should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or even just need someone to say hi to. You can drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.